Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira.
And hypocrisy is psychologically, spiritually, cognitively, and emotionally like prison. Once you get caught up into it, you can't live free. There's, you can't keep track of all your lies, your pretensions. And you know in your heart, really, probably there's some fakeness and it doesn't jive with peace development and joy development or any of those things. It just goes totally against us. And as Joseph read, it can negate our salvation. It's that powerful. And that's crazy. It can destroy relationships and all kinds of things. Boy, it's just, I right now, I was, Laura, as I was hearing you talk, and I was counting my caseload, which sometimes is difficult, and I at least have four individuals or four couples that, let me be polite, are idolatrous because their own sexual relationship outside of marriage that they justify is more important than God. And that becomes hypocrisy. I don't contemn people and I don't verbally slap them around, but I get a little bit tired when they come to me and they want peace and they want freedom from anxiety and they want freedom from depression and they want freedom from trials. And yet they're living like a demon. But they don't want you to tell them that or tell them the things, they don't. Sometimes the smart aleck part of me wants to do, hey, McFly, but we have to be much more patient as counselors and so on. But these people, what gets me, you can see them on this live stream sometimes. They'll raise their hand and they're clapping and praising the Lord and then go sleep with their girlfriend twice that afternoon. Maybe it's a compartmentalization psychologically. Maybe, and a lot of these people love the Lord. It's just that they're caught up in this idolatrous hypocrisy that their sexual desires are more important than what God tells them. That's hypocrisy. And that really gets to me because, again, it taxes me when a person wants free counseling or even if they're paying and they don't want to acknowledge they're part of it or take responsibility. Just make me happy, please. I'll sleep with who I want to.
That frustrates me. Yeah. And that goes back to, the question you asked. So how's that working out?
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, I'm having trouble. I want things to be a certain way, yet I don't want to follow God's plan. I want to do things my way and I want to feel good about it. Help me do that. It's like, I can't mm-hmm. do that.
And it goes back to the word conflict. I just want to throw this in what you're saying is that sometimes they don't even want to be in the sexual relationship, but they're afraid for conflict. They're afraid of, but they are living with a condemned conscience. This is what the three of us experience. Some of them have a condemned conscience. They're sleeping with their fiance, whether it's a male or female. And they're saying, well, I know that we shouldn't, but I'm afraid. And there we go again. We're back off to the races. We're afraid mm-hmm. of a conflict. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all right. No, fear drives a lot of the things that we do. Fear of rejection, fear of being alone. Fear of not getting the things that we want in life. And those fears can be very irrational or they can be very real. The problem is that they're not based on truth. And so we need to then build our foundation. If you were to go to the end of chapter 7, let me actually go there because I want to read what the, right after that, what Jesus said, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat it against the house. And it fell with a great crash. And we're afraid. We have fear. The things that we're building our life on are causing the walls to fall in around us. And it may be okay for a little bit. Things will be fine. But the wind and the rain, Jesus didn't say, if you follow me, the wind and the rain is going to go away. The waters aren't going to rise. He clearly stated that if you build your house upon me, when those things happen, you're going to be okay. And he's saying, don't fear the things that are going to happen. You're going to be okay. But we base everything that we do on fear. And so if we have people that are coming to us saying, most of their problems are based in fear. Like we talked about in previous episodes, we talked about forgiveness. Sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. I find that more people have the hardest time forgiving themselves, and they live in the condemnation of their past and what they've done, that they don't see what God has for them in their future. And so we have to be very careful that we have to forgive ourselves. We have to come clean, open ourselves up, allow the things of our life to be dealt with so that it is not poisoning our souls. And we have to build our foundation on his word. We have to build our foundation on him, or it's going to take a gust of wind, a little bit of rain, and everything comes crashing down.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. We have to have an authenticity. And Joseph, you said a few minutes ago something that's very key. Your children know you to be the same whether you're at home, whether you're riding down the street and somebody cuts you off, or whether you're at church. And I think that's important. And we really can't sustain that consistency unless we're basing our lives, our thinking, our feeling upon the Word of God.
That's so true. And, you know, the thing is, the simplicity of, of what we're saying, to the listener is, okay, the best case scenario, if you're going to walk in hypocrisy, is you're going to miss heaven. Okay.
Yeah.
And the best case scenario, if you walk in masking, right, which is preemptive, is that nobody ever really knows you. Honestly, guys, I'd rather be honestly disliked by people for being who I actually am than to be fake liked by other people who think I am somebody that I'm not. And it goes back to something you said, Kevin, is like, you can't even keep up. If we fall into the prison, a lot of people use the word trap. I like that. If we fall into the prison of being man pleasers, listener, we want everybody to work to please others around them. But there's a difference between wanting to please others because it's a good thing to do, right? It glorifies God, and being a people pleaser. Because when we're a people pleaser, we're chameleons. And, if this group is blue, we become blue. And if this group is green, we become green. And there's something about us learning to live peaceably with all people. However, when our identity is anchored and grounded, either in the world or in Christ, because really there's no other choice. Listener, I want to say that the devil's done a good job of making you feel like there's a lot of different things, but Jesus broke it down. He says, there's only two masters. And if you don't serve God, you are going to serve the other master. And if you serve the other master, you're going to hate God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus did not say you can serve two masters. And in this analogy, and just what Jesus is saying, you cannot serve God and the world. He says clearly, for you will love the one and you will hate the other. And this is what we see happening with some of the examples that you gentlemen said, is that people with no fear of God, right, they go and live a worldly lifestyle, not being confronted with the truth that you have chosen your master. Because living for Christ, according to Jesus, means I got to die to myself. I got to die to everything about myself. And listen, listener, we all understand it's a process of sanctification. It doesn't happen in one day. But being born again, which is where it all starts, because you cannot serve Christ without being born again. So that's the beginning of your journey. But once you have been born again, you then have been given the Holy Spirit, who now empowers you to say no to the world and yes to Christ. So if you're listening and you're resonating with what the gentlemen are saying, and you find that you've been caught in this prison of, I say I love God, but I'm living like the world because I don't want conflict. I don't want to be left, right? I want people to like me. Fill in the blank, right? Very human responses. We're not condemning them. We're just saying, are you going to be ruled by them? Because if you're ruled by them, then you cannot be ruled by Christ. And I love that you took us to a passage today, Kevin, where it just shows Jesus in a ferocious way. I always say, do not try to paint Jesus in these soft little pastels. Don't try to paint him inside the lines. Yes, he is the lamb who takes away the sins of the world, listener, but he's also the Lion of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And this message is so on point for today because we live in such a sickeningly false world like never before. Yes, the world has always been false, but with social media, right, with Facebook and Instagram and all of this curated and, oh my gosh, narcissistic focus lifestyles, it's more easy to fall into hypocrisy, we believe, than ever in any generation since Christ created this world.
Mm-hmm. It's well spoken. Christ was so angry at this hypocrisy because he knew it would take away people's salvation. It wasn't a personal vendetta or anything like that. It wasn't immature vendettas or anger that we have sometimes as humans, but it was a pure anger because he knew it would take away people's salvation. And he was upset about that because he wants people to enjoy him forever. And the benefits of doing so. And Laura, you poignantly mentioned the best case is losing heaven if we continue to be hypocritical and not repent of that and so on, that the best case is losing heaven. And heaven is a future state, but it's also a now state, because if we're not living heaven's characteristics in ways now and experiencing its benefits, so it's future. And so I like how you said the best case is losing heaven, but we're going to lose heaven now too, which is joy, which is peace, which is love, which is patience, which all those characteristics. And it's sort of what you said, Laura, it all kind of dovetails. It all goes hand in hand. For example, when you read Matthew 23:23-34, it talked a lot about the hypocrisy, the pride, the self-righteousness they had, the creating rules of living that are imprisoning, because they had so many rules. You could only walk. You couldn't bake. I mean, just crazy traditions of men that was so stifling. And then they started to look down on others and so on. So that hypocrisy goes against Matthew 28, where Christ says, look, I am lowly, and you will be like me. I am lowly and humble, and you'll have peace. That hypocrisy gives rise to pride. You can't have peace if you got pride, like that narcissism like you mentioned. So anyway, it's just all dovetails, and I just wanted to point out that heaven is experienced now as well. If we can't live heaven authentically without hypocrisy now, we won't have heaven in the future.
Yeah, and I always go back to when you get squeezed, what comes out? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I tell my clients, if you squeeze a tube of toothpaste and you get fish food, you know, is that good? They go, no, I don't want to put fish food in my mouth, right? We want to be able to squeeze and have the thing that's labeled on it to come out. But when you squeeze something, you can't really put it back in. It's one of those things where you can try to put everything back in. So if things like anger, if there's, you know, hurtful things, all these things, hatred, if that's coming out of you, you can't pack that back in. You can't just say, oh, my bad. I was just having either that time of the month or that time of the hour, right? It's just, you know, I was hangry. That's not okay. That's not a good thing. And so what I say is what, and this is what our pastor would say, when you get squeezed, what comes out? And is it the flesh that comes out or is it the spirit that comes out? Are those the things that are going to be coming out of you when we get squeezed? Because we're going to get squeezed. Our families are going to squeeze us. Our jobs are going to squeeze us. Society is going to squeeze us. If you drive, you're being squeezed. And a lot of times, if you want to know somebody, is watch them drive. Because that's it's a good clear indicator of what is possibly going on the inside. But just like the fruit of the spirit, just like what Kevin said, is that those are the things that should be coming out, right? If, and I think it's, is it Galatians chapter 5?
The fruit?
Yeah.
22? Yep.
Yeah,
verse 22.
It says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. So when you have somebody that says, I deserve, you go, whoa, wait a minute. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. If anything, God's holding back what we actually do deserve.
Mm.
And we have to remember that because we don't deserve anything except for punishment. We don't deserve anything except the judgment based on our actions. But he took that upon himself. He was the one that decided, I'm going to take your punishment. And he gave us grace and mercy and forgiveness. And so what is coming out of us? Is it love? Is it joy? Because what typically comes out is this, sexual immorality. So if we go back to verse 19, it's sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the scripture is very clear. And we know it to be clear because of where our heart is. Some of you may be listening right now and going, wow, I just had a fit of rage, or I have hatred. I don't know. Everywhere I go, there's always drama. And it's just, I can't get away from it. I'm sorry, but you're the common denominator. If everywhere you go, there's drama, it's coming out of you. You're the common denominator. And what we need to do is say, okay, I have these things that are coming out of me. I'm being squeezed. I need to have love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want those things to come out. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, I want to give those to you. But it's going to take work. It's going to take forgiveness. It's going to take patience. It's going to take all these things. We can't just turn on a dime. Sometimes I tell people, it's like they say, I can't get there. I'm like, yeah, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to take an oil tanker and flip a 180 on a dime. You can't do it. You have to take it 1 degree at a time. If you're 1 degree off the heading you're in right now, it'll take you hundreds of miles off course from where you were going. So understand, it's 1 degree at a time so that you can then say, oh, look at that. I was heading in that direction. Now I'm going in this direction. This is a good direction. But it took time. And then we have to forgive ourselves because we're going to mess up. We're going to say something we don't want to say. We're going to say something to hurt someone. Somebody's going to say something to us to hurt us. We have to forgive them too. Because if we practice those things, what you practice ends up coming out. And then when you get squeezed, you're going to be like, oh, a year ago, I would have, used a bunch of adjectives or things to add to who they are that I was ashamed of. Instead, I said, Lord, they need help. I'm praying on their behalf. I don't know what they're going through, but my heart breaks for them, even though they said terrible things to me. And, you know, our caveman DNA wants to come out, but we have to go, no, I want his DNA to come out. I want what's coming through him to come out of me so that they may say, you're different. What's different about you? And then we don't look like a hypocrite. And we aren't having to do damage control on the situations that we just had.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, what do we want to leave with the audience? I always like Joseph going last because he does so well in finishing everything up and wrapping it up and so on. But Laura, do you have some things that you would like to leave with our audience?
I do. Something that Joseph was just saying a moment ago, you know, laying out the gospel very beautifully. Thank you for that, Joseph. And, you know, our message to you is, yes, born again people do sin, but we should be grieved by our sin. As born again people, we don't always walk in the fruit of the Spirit, but the Bible has shown us what we should be walking in so that when we don't, we get to fulfill what 1 John 1:9 says, one of my favorite scriptures, that if we confess our sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to, you would say, restore our righteousness, mm-hmm. right? What that means is that we want to remain in right fellowship. I have to live by 1 John 1:9 a lot. Mm. Okay. I do, listener, I love the Lord, but I fail. But hopefully, like you, right? I want to walk in the Lord. I want to walk in the gift he gave me, which is a gift, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I fail, but guess what? Jesus gave me a path, 1 John 1:9, and that's a well-worn path for me, and I thank God for that. The Lord wants us to be aligned with him continuously. He gives us the empowerment to do that. He gives us the path to do that. He gives us the patience and the endurance to keep doing that. And so what I would leave the listener with is that one of my favorite teachers on raising your children in a godly way is Dr. Ted Tripp, and it's two P's, T-R-I-P-P, and he has a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart. I so highly recommend that. I've taught that class, it hasn't been many years now, but I taught it, and I saw the relationship between the parents and their children radically change because of the message that is found through Dr. Ted Tripp. But one of the things I want to leave the listener with that I never forgot that Dr. Ted says, and it fits right into this message of hypocrisy today. And he says, you know, that many times Christian parents are guilty of teaching their children to be little Pharisees. Hmm. Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and what they do is we're supposed to have children that bear fruit. He says, but if a parent's not careful, they'll teach their children how to decorate the tree with artificial apples.
Wow. Oh,
I never forgot that. And so can you imagine hearing this message as a parent of young children and you're thinking, wow, am I turning my little child into a Pharisee? Am I helping them to decorate their tree with nothing but artificial apples? It looks good from the distance, but you get up close We know in the scriptures what Jesus had to say to the fig tree, who had the appearance of having fruit, but had none, right? It's a great metaphor. Is Jesus wants us to be fruit bearers, but he also wants us, you know, people, when they encounter us, they should get what they see. And they, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What we say is what they should get. And anything else is a shell game. Anything else is deceit and comes down to this message. It comes down to hypocrisy. And so what we just want to say is we believe, listener, you don't want that kind of life. We don't want that kind of life. And so these messages are for just as much for us, right? We know we're preaching to ourselves, preaching to our own hearts, even as we are hopefully ministering these truths to you as well.
Well, thank you, Laura. That's my sentiments too. You know, I was hopefully not stern, but emotional about this subject because when I was doing my reading, because it's so important and it negatively impacts people so much. And at Encouragement Now Ministries, we provide free counseling for people who can't afford it. And then there's other people who can and they donate. And that's how we take care of ourselves financially. But I would do this free if I could, if not for car payments, utilities, food expenses, and mortgages, and so on. You know, that's how much I care about this. And I wanted the audience to hear about hypocrisy because, as you said very, very poignantly, Laura, it can take away heaven. It really can. And so, and I've been hypocritical, you know, not on purpose, but after looking at it. And it brings us to the next point that God's way of life is using his word and using the Holy Spirit in relationship with him to ever be present in examining ourselves. That's the reason we take communion, so that we can examine ourselves and see where we fall short. That's the right attitude before we take communion. And so if some of our listeners are being hypocritical and it's trapping them, if it's causing emotional problems or relationship problems, we can repent. And I would like to read a scripture in Acts 3, verse 19, and then also go back to Matthew 11, just for some final encouragement in terms of what I want to impart to our audience. It says in Acts 3:19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And people who are caught up really badly in this hypocrisy, they need times of refreshing. They need to repent. We need to repent. And so if we go over to Matthew 11, what repent means is coming back to Christ. And Christ tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." That's all of us. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This is key. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the secret of being free from hypocrisy, repenting and taking on Christ's restfulness, which is a lack of pride and all the other things that we've talked about today.
Yeah. And I want to end on this is that at the beginning of the podcast, I said that the church is like a hospital, right? We have sick people helping sick people. And our varying degrees of sickness, they range, but we have to look at it as, I'm not perfect. The only time I can be perfect is if I'm face to face with my Creator, right? And if people were to leave the hospital perfect, then we wouldn't need the hospital. We wouldn't need God. But we usually leave this life, and we also leave the imperfections, if we are in Christ, here on earth. And so we have to remember that sick people are going to get other people sick. We have to help. We have to help those that are sick. We have to help ourselves. But just at the end, if you read Galatians 5 and the fruits of the Spirit, what are the things that are contrary to the fruit versus what the fruit is? That's good. But I want to read chapter 6 real quick, part of it, because this is what Paul went on to say after the fruit of the Spirit. He said, "Brothers and sisters, if if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves so that you may not be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you can fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something that they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one of us should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to anyone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to pleasure their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Are you in a Bible-believing church? Are you surrounded by other sick people who are trying to get better? Don't say, oh, they're too sick for me to be around because my sickness is better than their sickness. No, that's hypocrisy, right? In saying, I don't want to be around hypocrites, you're being a hypocrite. And you're doing the very thing that you don't want to do. You're saying, I want to keep my hypocrisy. I want to keep my sickness to myself. I don't want to be around other sick people. But what Christ has done is he's taken that sickness from us. Through the Holy Spirit, he's refining us. He's helping us to become better, not perfect, to become better. And we need each other because I need Kevin just as much as Kevin needs me. I need Laura just as much as Laura needs me. So that when you say, hey, Joseph, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Or how's that working out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you reflected on what God's word says? We need people like that in our lives. We need people to say, hey, come on, let me help you. Let me help carry some of your burden. I've been there. I know what you're going through. You need to find a Bible-believing church. And just like what Kevin said, is that we're here to help too. If you need help, we can help you. And believe me, I've had to talk to people and say, so how's that working out? Do you know what the truth is? They know the truth. It's like, okay, how do we walk the truth now? Have you forgiven yourself? Because it's hard to forgive others if you can't forgive yourself. We may say, oh, I could forgive others. Are you really? Are you really forgiving others? Because if you can forgive others, then it should be easy to forgive yourself. But we don't. Sometimes we hold on to those things and it ekes out. It comes out in our relationships. And then we have troubles. So do you have a Bible-believing church? Do you need help? Reach out. Don't say, my sickness is better than their sickness, or their sickness is better than my sickness. We're all sick together, and we need help, and we need God's word. So reach out to us, go to our website, fill out that consult form, and we'll be there to help you. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.